Welcome to the podcast from Cambridge University Medical Education Group, or CUMEG for short. This is a podcast from the University of Cambridge School of Clinical Medicine, focusing on medical education. We'll be touching on a range of topics that medical educators are dealing with. I'm your host, Cheryl France, head of CUMEG. Today, I have Dr. Isabel Fitzgerald O'Connor here with us today. Isabel is a consultant ENT surgeon at the University of Cambridge NHS Foundation Trust, but she also is the electives lead and specialty lead in ENT surgery at the University of Cambridge. But you also have a third role. So I'm just going to say welcome to you, Isabel. Can you tell us a bit more about your roles?
So today you want me to talk about the electives lead, but I also, which I will do, but I also run a program for NHS England where we place doctors in training in sub-Saharan African hospitals. And the reason I do that and also the reason I do the electives lead is because I worked as a doctor in Malawi about 15 years ago. So I have quite a long history of working in resource-limited settings and supporting other doctors to do that. And so I was very much tempted into being the electives lead after supporting my predecessor and seeing if we could get students coming on the incoming program from those sorts of backgrounds.
Oh, that's really interesting. So a real passion doing this.
Definitely.
So because you've touched on that already, I know we're going to talk today about incoming students coming to Cambridge, but we're also going to talk about students who leave from Cambridge and go to different places or not.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about the incoming students, please?
Yeah, so we have about 60 places a year and they're spread out throughout the year, whereas our outgoing elective students, they're about 360, and they all go in the summer. Okay, so our electives program is not exactly equal in terms of when the students are around, but the incoming students spread out throughout the year, and we have about eight in each block, and they're spread out in blocks of between 4 and 6 weeks. And the incoming program opens every February, which is about this time of year when we're recording, and it is for the subsequent year, so it's quite a long lead-in time. Right. And so when we're opening now is for 2027.
Oh, okay? Wow.
For the whole of that year. So some students will be applying about now for the end of next year. And the reason we do that is that there's quite a lot of organisation based around it. And we have a huge number of people applying, so we have to fairly allocate spaces. And we also have incoming students coming from all over the world, and visa issues are sometimes a problem, and so that needs a long lead-in time. And also, any student that's on the incoming program needs to demonstrate that they have a certain level of English proficiency. If a student is on an incoming program, is taught in English, and that's recognised by the World Council of Medical Schools, I think there's a special name for them, they don't have to have an English exam, but if they don't, then they do have to do an English exam. At the moment, care of the National University of Singapore, we have some bursary money that's been supporting students from resource-limited settings and also from conflict zones. So we have just had two Ukrainian students, and that was on the back of a whole summer school that we did as part of the elective program between the National University in Kharkiv. And we haven't been successful in getting more funding, but we've had two students recently on the back of this funding from the National University of Singapore. We've also had a student from Malawi, and we were hoping to have two more next year. We've had two students from Uganda, care of the Ugandan Cancer Institute, which is supported by Cambridge Africa, which is an institution here in Cambridge that supports partnership work with all areas of the university and all areas of Africa.
Amazing. So they were able to come over on these bursaries,
yep.
and to have a placement here in Cambridge.
Yeah.
So there is a cost to coming here in Cambridge,
yep.
Clearly, because otherwise you wouldn't need the bursaries.
Yep.
But my understanding is that it covers accommodation when they're here. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it depends on the bursary and depends on the finances. So each situation is looked at individually. We don't have a huge amount of money. But when a student applies for a place on the incoming program, all of the finances that they would need to undertake, financial responsibilities they'd need to undertake, are on the website, which I'm sure you'll put up with this. But broadly speaking, the students have to pay for accommodation. They have to pay for their flights, they pay for subsistence, and they have to pay for an admin fee, an occupational health fee, which are together. And they don't need to pay any tuition. So any student coming to Cambridge doesn't have to pay a tuition charge.
Okay. So there is a fee, but not for the tuition. They get that as part of coming here.
Yeah.
I think every doctor who's had that opportunity to go somewhere on their elective have always come back talking about it as, you know, with smiles on their faces. Yeah. And
people always say that to me. They say, when I was in Papua New Guinea, or, you know, and they always talk about their elective. It's such a formative time as a medical student. And so for the opportunity to support people to do whatever they want in the world so that they can make their careers flourish is just, you know, it's a gift.
Absolutely. And you do hear people talking about, like you say, that experience at that time was just amazing. And it's good to hear that there's relationships building, because I think that's really important as well. The world's getting smaller.
Yeah.
And we should be supporting one another in whatever way we can.
Yeah.
And these sorts of relationships can do that.
And doctors are very good at that, actually.
Yeah.
Medicine's an international language. And frequently, even if you've had a different cultural experience where you live and come from, it's a great connector. You know, I can talk to another doctor and I know, I know their language. Yeah. And so it is a great thing to do. And actually, we have... But the incoming program that I'm supporting is for people from all over the world. But I've particularly supported these bursaries. But actually, our students do all manner of things, the outgoing students. And we do have a significant proportion of people that go and work in North America to do really quite niche research, which then enables them to develop relationships in, you know, groundbreaking areas, internationally renowned laboratories, and it gives them like a massive boost to their CV, which means that they're then able to apply for a job in another country because they've developed relationships with the only professor of X, Y, and Z, you know. And so it's really, it's about experience. So it's about an opportunity and enabling students to develop the pluses and minuses of an opportunity.
Absolutely.
So say, for example, the working day in North America is a little different to the working day in downtown Cambridge. And actually some doctors, medical students realise that actually they're not going to do that. And so people learn through their elective what they do and don't want out of their career. And I think that's a really great thing.
Yeah, and I was going to say that is part of the bonus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
try before you buy.
Absolutely. It's that chance to say, I think I really like this specialty. Yeah. I'm off. And then you get there and go,
yes.
Oh my goodness, no, this isn't for me. Or wow, as you say, developing that research connection for that niche thing that you can then expand on in the future. So what an exciting opportunity. And I think now we'll kind of go back to some of our students going abroad.
Yep.
They can choose where they want. So we don't say, 10 people go there, 5 people go there.
And that was really that was sort of drummed into me. I mean, I knew that anyway, but it was very much, that's why we actually don't have reciprocal placements. So, one of our students has to go to town A, and a student from town A has to come to Cambridge. And that was something that was developed by Dr. Woods before Professor Wilkinson, because I really strongly support that, because it's an opportunity for people, for medical students in Cambridge to choose where they go. And so there aren't any sort of exact relationships, but we do have partnerships. So if a student wants to go, we'll support them going to that place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's really important to kind of highlight here, because it is about that student's experience. And if they want that particular place or not, it's important that they have that opportunity to make that decision.
Yeah, very much so. And we do have a few difficulties along that line. It's that some host institutions, particularly in North America, require contracts, and we're not able to sign them. And so unless a student finds that out pretty early, they can sometimes get a little far along the process, and then they are like, well, we need to sign a contract, and we're not able to do that. And that is something that I do highlight to them at every opportunity. Including this one. Contract signing is not something that the clinical school is able to do, because it's they're usually too based on this reciprocity of exact spaces and that, and legal contracts, they don't generally sign them. They don't sign them at all,
And I mean, I can understand that, because then you get into all sorts of complexities. And I think it is about having this ability to have some flexibility for the students themselves, as well as the School of Clinical Medicine, and being able to say, well, actually, we haven't had a relationship with X country or location, and now's that opportunity to do that, and to have the students do that. So that makes perfect sense, and good to highlight, I think. So all students incoming and outgoing have to think about finances in terms of this placement and what they're going to do. I mean, I know you talked about some bursaries, but I think you're always looking for more, because I've heard you ask me, and you know, if we ever hear of money. So I think this is a good opportunity as well, if anybody's listening who thinks, oh, I'd like to support some of this, it's a good opportunity to also be in touch.
Well, we have been given, for our outgoing students, a bursary by the Hospital Saturday Fund, so thank you very much for that. And what that fund is supporting at the moment is a group of people like me, so elective leads, or people who have been recent elective leads, have set up something called the Fair Trade Elective Network. And I've used that bursary to cover the cost of the admin fees. And those are placements usually in resource-limited settings in places like India, Nepal, and in sub-Saharan Africa. And so I've used that fund for those purposes. And we have a local estate agent that also have provided a bursary. So Bidwell's provided a bursary for us for some incoming students. So that was great. But yeah, more would be very welcome.
I mean, it's something that we want to do more of, and to be able to support our students incoming and outgoing. So I think it's a really good opportunity, particularly on something that's so fun. I mean, this is that one part of, you know, education where you think, yeah, I'm going to take everything I've learned and be able to utilize it somewhere, but also have fun in that process. And I think that's...
No, and they definitely do. I tell you, it's not straightforward, but I have to read, you know, 320 to 360 elective reports in the space of about 3 or 4 weeks in September. And it sounds like it would be onerous. And it is, I have to make sure I've got the time to do it, but it's certainly not onerous. I mean, reading them is just like vicariously living my travel opportunities and seeing where everybody goes. And you know what? Some students go to local hospitals and they have the best time. So I really, really try to make the point that our outgoing students do not need to go to, far-flung places. And I do tell them that they shouldn't be doing unnecessary travel, because I think in this day and age, it's super important to be thinking about MRs and things like that. But if they go somewhere, I have a few things that I always like to say to our outgoing students is, be really conscious about what you're doing and why you're doing it. So health tourism I don't support at all. So I really want students really to only go to one place. I'm not talking about the designated holiday that they're allowed to take during that period of time, but to go to one clinical institution so that they're spending proper time and getting embedded in that. I will accept two, because sometimes it's difficult for some placements will only be 3 or 4 weeks long. So I'll accept that. But I do want students to really think about what they're doing and why they're doing it and what they're going to get out of it, and also what they're going to give, because health tourism is not something that I really support. I also say that if students are travelling in a resource limited setting or somewhere that's not got much communication or is, you know, not what they, it's not a package holiday type destination, that they should really be travelling with another student so that they've got the support of that. And that also, I think students should be travelling to and trying to work in a hospital or clinical facility, if that's what they're doing, if they're doing clinical work, because they don't all do clinical work, and I'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes.
But they should be aware that clinical medicine with a language barrier is very difficult.
Yeah.
So I do read a lot of reports where they go, I had a really amazing time in South America, but I didn't speak Spanish or Portuguese, whatever the language is in that country. But I did learn some things, but it would have been better. And I also get that a lot from some hospitals that students go to in Japan, that it seems that some hospitals, you know, English is widely spoken and others it's not. And I just want people to be really careful when they're looking for those placements to work out, is it the right thing for me to do? But we have so many international students in Cambridge. It might be that their mother tongue is Japanese, for example.
Absolutely.
So you know, I want people to think about everything.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about that, because you've really highlighted some really important points that students should be considering and thinking about before the traveling.
Yeah.
So do you meet with the students like quite frequently or not frequently, but enough beforehand to also talk about, you know, the importance of respect in that country and the cultures and all that sort of thing as well?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, no, there is. And so but the thing is that the wonderful thing about an elective is that every year you're going to have pretty close to like 250 different electives, because some people travel together. So I can't talk about in a big lecture theatre, I can't talk about what it's like to work in, I don't know, Mexico, because I've never traveled to Mexico, but I can give advice about the places that I've lived and worked in. And this is why I'm doing the job, is because I have worked abroad. My elective was in North America, but I've worked in Malawi. And so I have quite a wide view of what might suit somebody. So I always, my door is open. I'm happy to talk to anybody and talk through what might work for them. But as a whole, I talk to the medical students 2 or 3 times over the course of 2 years. And I'm always available to talk to people about specifics. I have an elective presentation, which is on the middle, so they can have a look at that. That's up there, the presentation that I give.
And that's our student internet, as it were, where they can go and look at that. Yeah.
And so they have access to that, because they don't all turn up to my lectures. But I'm also available to talk to people about individual desires and I can help put people in touch with, you know, this might be a good thing for you, that might be a good thing for you.
And I'm sure previous students also are willing to chat about their experiences.
And all those electives are available to read for internal students. They're not available for other people to read. But they are available for Cambridge students to read.
Oh, that's useful.
And I do direct them to those. And I do, you know, I remember stuff. So if somebody says, oh, I really want to go to Romania, I'll say, well, actually, I remember 2 years ago there was somebody in Romania. Or I really want to do an elective in sports medicine. And I know that 2 or 3 people have done sports medicine. The other thing is that we don't require all students to do clinical electives. So we do have a number of students that will work with a management consultancy or a hedge fund that deals with medical issues. We have people that do pure research with no interaction with patients and things like that. So, and we have had, although Professor Wilkinson apparently turned it down, we have somebody that wanted to do an elective on Love Island. That was turned down. just in case you're thinking in the future you want to do that. But we have had somebody that curated an exhibition at the Vagina Museum in London. So there are many things that students will do. And if I'm not sure, so we also have students that do courses. Every student, Cambridge student that is leaving us to do something has to have a supervisor. So I will ensure if it's something way out that there's going to be some benefit for them, for their career, and that they have a supervisor. But what I think is really important is that an elective is the first time they choose to do something other than a SSC and SSP. But it's the first time...
SSC, and just explain what those are, sorry.
Now you're going to ask. They're specialist components on their course. So essentially it's when they do a speciality or a research speciality that they choose to do.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's in a defined period of time and they get given an opportunity to do it within a group of things, a group of specialities. Yeah. So, but this, they can do it in anything as long as there is a decent clinical or educational research basis to it. And actually this is the start of their career. You know, and actually when you leave medical school, you have to choose where you're going to live and work if you get the opportunity. You have to choose what speciality you're going to go into. You need to start applying for those things. You need to fill in application forms. You need to go and meet people. You need to communicate with people. And actually, even though the elective is entirely for, it's a mandatory part of the course.
Yeah.
So that's why I exist, because I need to approve all of these things. But it is completely free will, complete choice for them to do that. But it's the start of them having to do that for themselves for their career.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a really good point. I knew about research and that a lot of students actually do choose to stay in the UK for sustainability purposes and all that sort of thing as well. So I think it's important to highlight that, as you say, you don't have to go abroad.
Yep.
And I was very aware of research, but I didn't know that there are some of these other opportunities as well.
Yep.
And that's quite good that they have that option to say, yeah, this is a track that I want to learn that specialty, or actually I just want to check here.
Yeah.
Which is slightly different, but is of interest. And again, it's what we came back to earlier in the conversation of saying, do I really want to go that way or not?
And I actually find it quite interesting reading those reports, because I'm a very happy jobbing doctor. Like, I love looking after patients. I love talking to patients. I love my job. And it's not straightforward in the NHS these days. So doing this sort of thing as well, it's just, honestly, it's the dream opportunity, because I see these young people and their opportunities that they want to engage with. But my heart does sing sometimes, and this is maybe slightly biased, and I shouldn't admit it on camera, but I have a number of students who come back from doing work with finance people, and they say they miss seeing patients.
Yeah, that's good. That's kind of what you want.
But I would still give them the opportunity, and I still support those students doing those things. But it is really great, try before you buy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they quite often come back saying it was quite boring.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, see, then they've chosen the right profession. That's fantastic. Is there anything else you want to add to today? I mean, I think you've given us some really key points today. Is there anything else that you think we didn't talk about X?
Oh, I don't think so. No, I just my job is to facilitate opportunity for everybody, you know, for our outgoing students and our incoming students, and to give them the chance to do what they want to do with their lives.
And I think that's the excitement. We've both had smiles on our faces, which I think says it all, in that this is a really fun part of being a medical student and the opportunities that are there for you. So I think that's fantastic. And I think you've really highlighted that today. So I just want to say thank you so much for being with us today and for giving us the opportunity to learn more about incoming and outgoing students.
Pleasure.
Thank you. If listeners are interested in learning more, please contact us via the QMEG website. You will also find our previous podcasts on the website at www.cumeg.cim.ac.uk, or look for us wherever you get your podcasts. We are grateful to you, our listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to us today. If you'd like to hear more from this and our next series or any of our previous podcasts, please like and subscribe to our podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Cheryl France. Thank you again for listening.